Isn't it a... Sorry. Keith, turn that down a bit. Isn't it a wonderful thing to see people opening up the windies and all? It's class. It's class. I think it was Bobby Coulter's van. I'm not sure if it is. You could probably keep me right, but I thought it was class. Bobby Coulter. Is it Bobby Coulter's van that says, I'll put your windies in? Isn't that... It's somebody Coulter. And I saw it the other day and I thought that was absolutely brilliant. He's a window fitter. And it just says along the top, I'll put your windies in. Thought it was brilliant. Anyway, let's just pray before we turn to God's word. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you this evening, Lord, as we turn to your living and active word. Lord, that you would tonight speak to us through it, Lord God. May the Spirit of God help us to understand. May the real pertinent questions that are being asked tonight, Lord, pierce into the very depths of our being tonight, please. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that every intervention of Jesus really does make a difference. But Lord, in that early prayer meeting, Billy said something, Lord God, that is so true and can be also quite harrowing. For some people, when God intervenes, when God moves, it's to soften their heart and bring them to faith in Jesus. Other times, it is to harden their heart because they are not yours. Lord, we pray tonight that all who hear your word would have their hearts softened, please. In Jesus' name, amen. I was reading a joke, and I really don't like crap jokes, but I thought this one was really good during the week because it helped me to think about what I was going to say. So I read this joke, and I'm not very good at this, so beforehand, you've got to remember, when I say parrot, I'm not talking about a bird. I'm talking about, you know, a boy with one leg and all, and a bird on the shoulder, right? So what is a parrot's favorite letter of the alphabet? R. So Andrew, I hadn't heard that before. I thought it was brilliant, and it wasn't even on a penguin biscuit that I had read that. What's a parrot's favorite letter? And it is R. R. Right. But it made me think about some other things. Like, for example, it's really true, and I wonder why, that older people hate the letter P. You got to work that one out for yourself. And then I thought, surely anyone with the name Angus must thank God for the letter G. But ask yourself this. What is your favorite letter of the alphabet? That sounds a bit mad, doesn't it? Sounds a bit random. What is your favorite letter? People have favorites, everything. We talk about favorite verses. I spoke on mine recently. People talk about favorite TV shows, favorite everything. But is it possible to have a favorite letter of the alphabet? Well, we'll see. Let's read this evening from Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and I'm reading from verse 17 through to 27. And it says this. It's called the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler. Now, as Jesus was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why are you calling me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to Jesus, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, "Well, then who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men It is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. So Jesus is on the road, and he's approached, as we've seen, by this young guy who kneels before him very reverently and asks, being very nice, good teacher, almost flattering, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, in some people's eyes, this guy had absolutely everything going for him. Like, don't you just hate people like that? You ever watch that program, Who Wants to Be a Billionaire? Hello. Who wants a chalet in Switzerland? Hello. You know, it never happens. I'm likely to get a mud hut in Conleg. But anyway, in some people's eyes, this guy had everything going for him. He was rich. He was young. And he was a ruler. He had a bit of status in life. And yet, in spite of allegedly having everything going for him, he lacked the most important thing of all. This guy knew, even with his riches and whatever else, he knew something was missing in his life. Something his riches, something his youth, something his status just couldn't satisfy. Just couldn't satisfy. And I wonder, have you ever thought there's something missing in your life? And no matter what you try to do to fill that void, you just can't find what it is. Well, let me tell you tonight, it's Jesus. As a minister, as I said this a few weeks ago, from Hamilton Road Presbyterian, David Searle once said, every human being is born with a hole in their soul, and it's only Jesus can fill that hole. Have you ever thought, even though you might have everything going for you in life, there's still something missing? Well, the answer is Jesus. Well, this young man, he had a desire for eternal life, but ignorantly, he thought it could be gained by his efforts. I mean, I'm rich. I've got a bit of status behind me. I'm young. What shall I do? What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? No one, rich or poor, can do anything in their own strength to gain eternal life. Hear that again. No one. Doesn't matter how poor you are, doesn't matter how rich you are, doesn't matter what status you have in life or lack of it, no one, rich or poor, can do anything in their own strength to gain eternal life. Jesus asked the guy, tell us this, why did you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. And then he reminded this young man of some of the commandments of God. So he said to him, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. And the man answered, teacher, all of these I have kept from my youth. He must be a cracker. All of these I have kept from my youth. Do you notice that Jesus doesn't question that statement. You see, Jewish boys were expected to be responsible for keeping the commandments when they came of age, around about 13 years of old. And this man sincerely believed that he had kept all the commandments of God. But God's word teaches no one, rich or poor, status or none, no status, no one is justified by keeping the law, because no one can keep the whole law of God. And Jesus seen right through this, wee lad. He looked at the young man, he loved him, and he said, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up your cross and follow me. And these words penetrated the man's heart and questioned his readiness to find eternal life. You see, the Lord searches the motives and the intents of the heart. And it's so very, very easy for any of us to say, Lord, I will do whatever you ask of me if you will do this or that for me, only to change our mind when we don't like what the Lord asks us to do. The young man left Jesus. He left sad at what Jesus had said, because he had great possessions. He was very, very rich. He was sad because he didn't get what he hoped for. And when Jesus told him what he needed to do for that young man, it was too high a price. The young man wasn't prepared to sacrifice that which meant most to him. Now, Jesus wasn't suggesting that if he sold all he had, he could gain eternal life. Eternal life can't be bought. It's not for sale. What Jesus did was showed him that he actually hadn't kept all of the commandments. In fact, he hadn't kept the greatest commandment of all, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. In other words, God must be first in our lives, not second to our possessions, our careers, our family, or anything else. God must come first. And God did not come first in this rich young ruler's life. His possessions came first. God must be preeminent in every part of our lives. God must come first. The man put his wealth above God. He loved his possessions more than God. Well, what about you tonight? Is God truly first in your life? Now, be careful about answering yes. I don't care whether you're Christian or not. Be careful about answering yes. Is God truly first in your life? If you answer yes, God might just show you that there's something in your life that's taking his place. And therefore, are you prepared to sacrifice it, to give it up? The rich young ruler wasn't. Jesus then turns to his disciples and said, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And his disciples were amazed at this. But Jesus says, "How hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." I don't know about you, but since you get a wee bit older, you ever try putting thread through the eye of a needle? It's a nightmare, and you're constantly licking it. It's just, oh, the hell with that, I'll just go out with it ripped. And I need to do it because I got my suits dry cleaned. It's yearly time, you know, it gets dry cleaned, and I sent them around to the dry cleaners and they broke all the buttons off my jacket. So I've got to go and find new buttons, and then I've got to sew the buttons on. And like, I am dreading getting the needle out. It takes me ages to find how to get that through there. And I keep telling myself the thread's getting thicker and the eye of the needles are getting thinner. But have you ever tried to get the thread? It's a nightmare. It is not easy. And here Jesus is using big flashy word for exaggerated language for effect. Hyperbole, it's called. He's using hyperbole language, exaggerated language for effect, about trying to get a camel to go through the eye of a needle. It would be impossible. And so it is impossible for those who trust in wealth to get into God's kingdom. Jesus' disciples were astonished at this, and they asked one another, "Well then, who then can be saved?" Because let me explain something. Why, these were just some ordinary common people. They were fishermen, but some of them owned boats. Some of them had homes to go to. Some of them had clothes on their back and food in their stomach. Now you think about this. Compared to other people in this world, you're rich. You are rich compared to people in, you know, war-torn Syria at this present time. You are rich compared to people in other parts of this world. It's impossible. It's impossible for those who trust in wealth to get into God's kingdom. And so the disciples, they saw what Jesus was saying. They said, "Well then, who then can be saved?" And Jesus told them, "With men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." You see, it's impossible for anyone, man or woman, rich or poor, to get into heaven by their own efforts. And remember, this man came, "Lord, what must I do? What can I do to inherit eternal life. He thought it was about self-effort. And Jesus is saying it's impossible. It's impossible for those who trust in riches, for those men or women, who think they can get into heaven by their own efforts. It's impossible. But he says this, but it is much harder for the wealthy to get into heaven, because they think they have all they need in their riches. They are self-sufficient and they think they need nothing. The rich trust in their riches. They rarely recognize their need of salvation. But they are what we call the up and outs. We're the down and outs. The rich are the up and outs. The rich trust in their riches. They rarely recognize their need of salvation. But you know what? You can't buy eternal life, because it's not for sale. You can't earn eternal life, because it's not something that you can work for. Eternal life is the free gift of God given to those who confess their sin. That means agree with God that they are a sinner, repent, turn around from that sin, and put their trust in Jesus. It's only possible for God to give his free gift of eternal life to those who seek it, because Jesus died and paid the debt for our sin, for our law breaking. And now God says, all who trust in Jesus have eternal life. Let's get back to the letter, favorite letter in the alphabet. Some of you will know this story, but there is a story of a rich lady, a woman of real noble birth, who traveled throughout England. She had become a Christian and she traveled throughout England telling everyone that she was saved through faith in Jesus, and her favorite letter in the alphabet, the letter M. Hear that? She was saved through faith in Jesus and the letter M. When asked what she meant by this, she would answer, I come from a very rich family. And I thank God that his word teaches not many rich are called. And she said, if there was no letter M, it would read, not any noble, not any rich are called. And she said, and if that were the case, I would be eternally lost. And so I thank God for Jesus and the letter M. What's your favorite letter of the alphabet? You know, there are many things that prevent us from putting our trust in the Lord, for putting the Lord first in our lives. What prevents you? What's stopping you giving your life to the Lord? Is it too high a price? Jesus made a difference by showing this young man that eternal life, salvation, cannot be bought or earned. It's the free gift of God given to those who trust in Jesus. Jesus made a difference by showing us that we must check our motives when we approach him, because the Lord searches our hearts and knows all of our motives and intentions. We must be prepared to put him first in everything. He must be Lord of our lives. Finally, Jesus made a difference by showing us that as far as salvation is concerned, with men it is impossible, but with God nothing is impossible. So Christian, the most important words in that passage, and you can go back over it yourself, the most important words that Jesus used in that passage to that rich young ruler were the words, follow me. Are you really prepared, Christian, to follow Jesus at whatever cost? Is his command to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me too high a price, too great a sacrifice for you? Are you prepared, Christian, really prepared to put Jesus first in your life? Maybe tonight you're here, or you're listening via Facebook, or later in the week we'll be listening to the podcast, and you're not yet a Christian. Well, let me ask you, what is more important to you than Jesus? What is more important to you than Jesus? Riches? Family? Career? Something else, perhaps? What prevents you from putting Jesus first in your life? Well, let me tell you, without Jesus, life is meaningless. Without him, God's word says, you are dead in sin and you are dead to God. Unless you come to Jesus, unless you put your trust in him who loves you, you will die in your unforgiven state and you will never inherit eternal life. Please, don't be like the rich young ruler who thought what Jesus required of him was just too high a price. What price do you put on your very soul? Repent. Turn around from your sin and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this account of your intervention in this rich young ruler's life. And how sad it is, Lord, from our perspective, to see that he walked away because he thought that his possessions were more important than you. Oh, what shall it profit a man or a woman if they inherit the whole world but lose their soul? Lord, we ask, please, that we would never, never put anything in your place. And we would ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, who searches the hearts of every man and woman, who knows all of our motives and intentions, that he would search out our hearts even this night. And if there is anything, anything that we would put in the place of God, Lord, show us, please, and give us the grace to put it away so that nothing will stand in your place. Lord, I pray that every one of us as Christians would be able to say tonight, you are Lord of my life, and at whatever cost, I will follow you. I pray for anyone, Lord, tonight who's here or listening to the Facebook or podcast message, Lord, that if they don't know you, that you would really drive that question home. What's more important to them than Jesus? And please, Lord God, help them to repent and put their trust in him. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.